Cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up? How you doing? It's G-Man the Ad Man. Once again, you're back here with it. It's another day that you chose to hang out with me. You could have been with your girl B. You could have been taking relationship advice from a guy called the Naked DJ, but you chose to hang out here with me. You could have been with the best tea in the city, but you chose to come hang out with me, and that's dope because we're not doing any of that. We're not talking relationship advice, and we're not even sipping the best tea in the city. We're talking advertising. Once again, it's that amazing game that we're all a part of. Whether you are working in it or not, we're all a part of it. And we're just once again chilling with some people that are integral to this beautiful game called advertising. Now, before we get into it, I just want to send a couple of shout outs because you know that's what we do out here. I want to first send a shout out to those Velocity Africa boys for an amazing food jam. I was looking at the photos on their Facebook page. Hey, people were cooking there. I see they somehow managed to get Melusi Chabalala into an apron. I don't know how. Cats like Zulaki Shabangu were in there as well. Go check it out. Check it out. Go to their Facebook page. Check out their food jam and see what went down on that day. It looks like, it looks like there was a lot of food burning. I'm even seeing people like Bongi. I'm seeing Smusso's toilet as well. The doctors in the area must have been really, really happy on the day after that. But yeah, that's dope. Also want to send out a shout out to the guys at DSTV. I was on Twitter and on Facebook last night, and I saw there was some dinner going on. And you know, I don't know how people collect invites to that thing, but the cast of Empire is in town, or the leads of Empire in town, and a few people that you might recognize were at said dinner yesterday, rubbing shoulders with the Lions, as they call them. But yeah, apparently it was an amazing event. So shout out to them cats as well. But yeah, today we have an interesting show for you. We have a show we're hanging out with a guy that a lot of you know about. Some of you have heard of him. Now, if you go to Wikipedia or if you go to Google and you type in Mzee Khumalo, right? But if you spell it M-Z-I-K-H-U-M-A-L-O, you will see that this man is a South African businessman in mining entrepreneur. He has held the following positions: chairman at Mintech from 2004 until right now. He's a director at Ridge Mining. Was a chairman at Capital Alliance Holdings. Chairman at JCI. I mean, Mr. Mzee Khumalo is an illustrious man who's led a very colorful career. But that's a different Mzee Khumalo. We're talking to the original Tatsui, Mr. Mzee Khumalo of Buffon Films. I mean, all you have to do is just go look at the man's biography, and you'll see that. I mean, he's been up to some crazy stuff. So I just want to welcome, first of all, to Cliff Central, to G-Man the Ad Man, to the show today, Mr. Mzee Khumalo.
Oh, thank you for having me, my good sir. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, man. This has been a long time coming. I mean, we've been chatting about you getting onto the show for a while now.
True that.
I mean, the show has only been on for about 5 or so weeks, but you know, we've been talking about it for a long time before that.
Firstly, I'd like to say all those late night conversations, you talking about hosting a radio show.
That's what's up.
Wow. Wow. I'm super proud of you. Just sitting here is like, I'm gassed, guys.
Thanks, bro. Mudimu mukhulu, guys. Mudimu mukhulu.
Hey, what's up, boy?
Yeah, no. And trap music will never hold us back once again. we are here because of that, but thanks a lot. So I mean, hit us up. Our number is 0861-555-189, or on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, on Facebook Cliff Central, WeChat it's also Cliff Central, or hit me up at Blaxem, that's BLAXEM, or you can even send some questions straight to Mzee and he'll answer them. What's your Twitter handle, Mzee?
Jesus.
Yeah, there we go.
Ism works. IZM works one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So Mzee, man, I was talking about this about the beautiful dinner. Yeah. Mzee is one of the people who, you know, who cracked the nod at that amazing dinner yesterday with the cast of Empire. So Mzee, how does one crack an invite to these things, my man?
You know, it was coincidental.
Yeah,
I
sure.
To meet the lady that was organizing, she was like, "Hi, man, Mzee. That's like, oh, okay, email address." Yeah. That was it.
Is it?
Yeah.
And you don't put niggas on, nothing. No, I'm sure. I'm sure Grant would love to be a part of this thing.
There were no plus ones, not a part.
Taraji P. Henson, something.
Boy. And it's smart ganjan.
How was that whole thing?
It was lovely. I was actually wondering, how does this dinner work? You know, in terms of it's two people, what do? Sit around and then it's like stare at each other, make idle chit chat. But it was nice. Samizi was the host for the evening.
Oh, dope.
Taraji, lovely.
Oh, look at you, first name faces. Taraji.
Yeah, speed. Yeah, boy. Maro Muntokrend, you know what I mean? I think her personality is quite disarming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very open and willing to share and talk to people.
There's
none of that posturing like I'm a celebrity, which I think we all quite enjoyed. You know?
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Terrence Howard as well. Was he there as well?
Yeah, he was there, man. Shangin daughter. Yeah. Like, cool, buddy. I got you.
No, you sit on the goddamn curve. Oh, that's dope, man. That's dope. But I mean, let's chat about you, Umzi. I mean, I was just saying now, you know, like you just have to read your list of credits, you know, on things.
KSE boy, yes, we saw Petty Mopili.
Petty Mining, boy.
Yeah, sure, that's really heavy.
But yeah, I mean, actually, we actually already got a question from somebody you will know very well, Mr. Musito Ramaili, saying the first question today he wants me to ask is it true that your middle name is Tatsui?
Musito Yaspita-san, if you're listening, or Papa. No, it's not.
Yeah, okay, it's cool. Not. But yes. But I mean, I want to...
Tatsui is a short for Tanzwembu, just putting it out there. Yeah.
You see, it wasn't a coincidence that we played Alaska's Tsintsumtsi Blind. Tatsui is everywhere. But yeah, I mean, I want you to tell us what you've been up to recently, man. I mean, what's been in production? I mean, what dope projects have you been on recently?
So we just completed Nando's, which is good.
Oh, yeah?
First time working on a Nando's campaign. It was fun. In the sense that I suppose it's quite an interesting brand, you know, quick on the draw, very socially, culturally relevant, you know.
Things
happen, boom, following day Nando's is out. So we got to make a quirky spot, you know.
Oh, that's the BEE one.
Yeah, that's the BEE one. And then we also did Sasol, a campaign for Banyana Banyana, which is really awesome. Like, I mean, you know, I suppose I didn't know the backstory of Banyana Banyana, you know.
Right.
They qualified for the Olympics without a professional league in the country.
That's,
do you know what I mean? Most of them still have day jobs, dude. They're not like
insane
professional football players. So
I'm sure the guys on the other side wouldn't like to, the girls on the other side wouldn't like to hear that they were beaten by like the postman, you know, like, or like the cop.
It literally is that.
That's insane, man.
And they're going to the Olympics. So, I mean, being part of that campaign and just basically getting South Africa to buy into it, buy into them as individuals and sportswomen, was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm hoping there's more to come from it. I'd really like to dive more into that story. I think it's quite interesting, like even struggling to get to camp, you know. It's things like that, you know what I mean? Like,
so is there going to be more to that campaign? Is it just going to be a once-off ad, or are there going to be other bits of pieces?
We're trying to expand it. We've got player profiles, so we want people to get to know these people, you
right
know? Yeah, so the same way you'd be like, hey, now Dr. Kumalo, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, that's what we want, basically.
For
you to be able to identify the players and call them out the same way you would your Messi's and Ronaldinho's.
Yeah,
they're representing us. They're at the Olympics, guys.
Does this mean you crack a ticket to the Olympics, maybe?
Oh, goddamn. I'd love to.
Yeah, I mean, maybe then. Maybe
I'm
then
still
you can
trying
call
to wangle that. Mbali, if you're listening, Sasol, Linda, if Unglalele, shout out. You know? I'll make it happen.
Oh, that's dope, man. That's some crazy stuff. But I mean, this is obviously, you know, I don't want to say culmination, but I feel like this is another bold step in like a journey where you've made amazing productions.
Yes.
What job do you think? What job still kind of holds like, do you hold close to you? You know, like what's a project that you did and makes you feel like, hey, I wanna this one is MZ. Yeah.
You know, I think like all the spots that we get to do touch a different part.
Right.
It's hard for me to isolate one.
Yeah.
I think the one with the quickest turnaround time, there's two of them actually.
Right.
And we did them quite close to each other. It was one where we made some guy, like, it was a Chinese guy.
Right.
And we blackfaced him, basically. And it was for Mzansi, you know?
Yeah.
And then...
Well, that was a DSTV campaign.
Yeah, but that was like, we did it in like 2-3 days, you know? Just quick, like, and we just found this guy, jumped into power or whatever power station in Soweto. I think that was the last spot shot there.
Yeah.
And we shot. And it looks beautiful.
Oh, that's dope. I actually remember that.
We did it like in such a short time. And then we also did the ANC campaign.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, which was cool. Nwandile and Lerato Moloi.
Yes.
Nwandile from Thesis. You know?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so that was cool as well. You know,
oh, that's
just
fantastic.
Being around the hood. It's nice to shoot the Soweto. I enjoy
it. Yeah, yeah. But speaking of which, I mean, I think, you know, and I don't want to get into the slightly heavy things yet, you know. But I mean, I want to chat later about things like how do you feel, you know, we are making sure that not just the directors, because I know, I mean, that's a whole other conversation about black directors. But how do you think we're making sure that every part of production is being filled by well, is being representative of the status quo.
No, but we won't
touch on that yet.
Sure.
You're currently working at Buffon Films.
Yes.
What is that? Tell everyone who doesn't know what Buffon Films is and what that actually
entails. Buffon Films is a commercials production company. There's about, I think, 8 to 9 directors, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And four to five producers. I don't remember the number.
Yeah.
And we all just kind of, we're a hub basically of directors.
Yeah.
We get outsourced to do work, get briefs from commercial agencies.
Yeah.
And we do ads. That's what we do. We make ads happen.
In conjunction
with advertising agencies, of course.
Oh, fantastic. Because, I mean, as I was reading up on some of your stuff as well, I know you've done like a few documentaries.
Yeah.
I mean, the soccer thing comes a long way with you.
It does.
You were with the team that just bombed out of AFCON now, also known as Bafana.
Yeah.
You essentially documented that their journey in 2010.
Talk
to me about that. What was that like?
You know, that was quite an interesting journey. Like, because I suppose,
were you on that bus? Were you on that bus?
I was. You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
This is Central and Cliff Central.
We can be
pretty frank.
That's,
you know,
what's up.
So this whole thing here, Bafana, we wanted to, there's a summer. It's called the Summer's Tale.
Right.
There was a documentary shot in 2006 for Germany, you know?
Yeah.
Germany, I think, made it to the semifinals, but they documented their whole journey. That
right.
documentary was on circuit for 9 months.
That's
out
insane.
There. It was a beautiful story.
That's
in terms
insane.
Of,
yeah.
I mean, the team coach, for instance, knew that I don't necessarily have the greatest players, but he's like, may not be the greatest players, but I'm going to make sure that you're the strongest and fittest team out there. That's how we're going to beat the other teams.
That's dope.
And you see them working towards this goal, and you buy into it and all this. So it's this great epic story. It was on circuit for 9 months, dude.
That's crazy.
And then we wanted to duplicate that, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first time on the continent and all of that. Prior to that, I'd gone to all the 6 countries that were participating in the World Cup.
Right. All the African countries.
All the African countries,
right.
Yeah. Just shooting them and covering them, talking to them about basically coming to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then it was like, now it's time for South Africa. We want to create this big epic story, you know? Yeah. And that was a slog. Safa, sorry, but yeah, you guys kind of screwed us over there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Machi, it's because you guys want to get on the bus. We haven't kicked one ball.
Machi.
Cats are on a bus waving through Sandton City, causing gridlocked and shit.
Perr didn't want that. He's like, what are we celebrating?
Yeah.
He said, what are we celebrating? Why are we doing a whole thing?
Yeah. Now I'm a shooter. They're saying the wrong things. I'm a shooter.
No, as in Upoya, I understood where he was coming from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You wanted like that whole focus, huddle down.
Yeah.
And let's just look at the end goal. Do you know what I mean?
But that must have had its own kind of production challenges. I mean, I'm sure, like, especially, I mean, if you're shooting normally, like with like subject matter that you know it's predictable and whatever,
and it's controlled,
and it's a controlled environment.
Yeah,
that must have been unpredictable as fuck.
It was very unpredictable. I mean, remember getting to Germany, and the team manager's like, "No, you can't shoot." I'm like, "Dude, here's the letter from Safa. What do you mean?" So I sat there for 2 days in a hotel, you know, and we actually paid for that whole shoot. That's another thing, you know. So yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, it was a little rough. Hey, send kwatile lapang.
You'll remember adverts. You know, you'll go and you'll shoot amazing things, but you'll come back to adverts because, you know, when we're shooting. But is that the case though? Do you find that when you find yourself doing other projects that are not traditional, say 30-second or 45-second or 60-second ads, do you find that you miss that? And where do you feel like you're at your most comfortable or at your best, really?
You know, I do miss commercials in terms of the structure.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we do go out and shoot other projects, especially like documentaries, you know what I mean? So it's like someone will be like, give me a storyline for a documentary. I'm like, no, you can't. It's organic. I don't know what that guy's going to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or what's going to happen? Do I have to go and shoot him here? Maybe he's going to tell me, you know, Mang Senkat, and we're here in Joburg now. I want to follow that story.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you find out the story unfolds and that sort of thing. Whereas commercials, it's like, we've got the 60 seconds or 30 seconder and we organize it to the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every hour has has a plan,
like stuff to it.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Do you find that makes it slightly, on the flip side of that, slightly too restrictive? Like, do you find that, like, sometimes you have ideas of how you want to, like, expand some of the ideas that you came through with on the treatment, and now it's like, hey, Munna, it actually turns out I have to lose some scenes, or because of the time constraints, do you find that those confines actually become a restriction at some point?
They do at some point, but I mean, that's also part of the organic process, you know, thinking on your feet and that sort of thing. And I think that's where we come into play, you know. It's like, okay guys, we actually don't have 2 hours to shoot that scene. How are we going to work around it? How's it going to cut? And then you have to think of a solution right there and then, you know.
Yeah,
which is nice also, you know, when you get to work with other creatives where you're sort of in tune with each other.
Yeah,
you come up with those solutions
all
together.
All the creatives are legazek. Yeah, my creatives legazek
or no, my creatives in general, you know. Ola Zach.
Shout out Zach, what's going on? So but do you also think though that the having the backing of, I mean, because it's a conversation that a lot of people have had before. It's like, yeah, but like, you know, he's got the backing of a big like production house. Do you think that also comes into play in making sure that some of those decisions become easier to execute?
Yes and no.
Right.
At the same time. I mean, it's either a logistical or creative decision. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think having strong producers, which is great, which is what I enjoy about Bafant, that's what we have out there, then they do make life easier.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then at the same time, it's literally a creative decision. So it's hard to balance the two. But they both complement each other.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope. Oh, that's really, really dope. Mm. So I mean, if you're out there and you're sitting at AFTA, or if you're sitting at some film school, I mean, there's this entire thing going on right out there. It's happening in pretty much every industry where startups are everywhere. You know, everyone is just kind of going, how can I make my version of this? How can I do my version of a Bouffant? You know, so if you're out there at one of those schools, just listen to what Mzee has to say, because that's exactly where he started. You started at AFTA, right?
No, actually.
There we go. Yeah.
I started at a school called Allen B. Campus.
Okay.
Aida was Shailen. That's
the one that was here in Bramley, right?
In Bramley, that was a cocktail of a course. Mbana. I remember, like, I did it for a year. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to go out and work. I'm going to be functioning in the industry. And, you know, when someone says, hey, go and pick that up. Because you start right at the bottom. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Your PA, whatever. Mm. And I was like, I don't even know what a ballast is. All those things. And I was like, nah, guy. We're less scared. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it was a one-year course at Allenby.
One-year course.
Yeah.
And then in the gap year where I was trying to work, I then started doing events and that sort of thing. We used to have events at Full Moon Fusion, which is now Oriented Morrow's Arch and that
dope.
Sort of thing. Yeah, like live events.
That look good, boy.
Hey, boy. Yeah. My mama's like, hey, boy, you got to do something. It's not a gap year. We didn't have that luxury, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we came up with. And then the following year, I went to AFTA.
Okay. And how long were you there?
AFTA, I was there for 3 years. I started off doing directing.
Okay.
And then I ended up producing. So producing is my major, actually.
Look at you. Yeah. Look at you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously those two disciplines kind of complement each other all the
time, right?
Of course,
yeah.
Oh, that's dope. So who are the guys that we would know, that some of the guys out there would recognize, were kind of in the same years as you, or kind of studying at around the same time as you when you were at AFTA?
So got my ex-wife,
yeah,
and Kalanan, or Kumalo, you know, Tapelo Mkwena.
Oh, yeah.
Who else was there? There's Adam Bentel, there's Adam Dahl, who I used to work with, Tristan Holmes.
Yeah.
We were all out there. You know?
That's crazy. Oh, yeah, and Tapelo was at this thing with you yesterday as well, right?
Yes, he was.
I hope he wasn't your plus one.
Wait, he didn't have to
come in. How do cats end up, you know, hanging out with people? And these are my guys. And I'm like, these guys, I hang out with them all the time. But when the good invites come through, it has passed now. It's behind us. Let us leave it behind us and move forward like this industry.
What you want to check on air? Okay, no,
let's not do this. Oh, Mzee, thank you. That's exactly what I needed right now.
Love.
All right, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna play a track right now says the wrong thing, and then we'll come back and we'll chat about, you know, some of the challenges that we all face in the game and some of the work that's out there and how Mzee feels about all that and said food. We'll talk about craft and him being a gym nut as well. All right, cool. One.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleepout, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleepout on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleepout on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Selling both candy. May not the match like Randy. If the chopper go out for granted, then nigga pull up your banner. Hope the killers understand me. Panda. 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 Panda.
That's amazing. That was Panda by DJ Spoo, Pressure Puss, a Panda, Designer, and DJ Spoo on that great track. Fetcho is my man, Joe. Fetcho is my man.
Dololo timing. I think RIP to Ali, R. Kelly's world's greatest would be a fitting tribute to his greatest, but because of 90% local content, he is in Kalagat. I was like, oh, come on, guy. That's whack, you know? I mean, there's nothing wrong, but it's just very off.
But that's all Fetcho, though. No. True, big true, big shout out to Machota. Yeah, so apparently some of you guys are having just a little bit of a problem getting into listening to the show right now live on the website. But actually, what you could do is you could just download the app and you can listen. You can listen free on the app right now, or you could go to WeChat and check out Cliff Central and you can listen to the show right now. They're live. So awesome. I mean, I don't wanna dwell on last night's dinner, but I actually saw a video this morning, AKA chatting to Taraji and to Taraji P. Henson to me, because I don't know on first name basis, and Terrence Howard, and at some point in that talk he said something like, you know, it's an amazing time to be South African and be focused right now. And I thought I was like, wow, you know, in and amongst all that beefing and all that Caspano vesting and all that stuff, the stuff that I don't actually care about, I thought that was a really, really interesting thing, you know, to just kind of go, it feels like all those opportunities and everything exists around us right now. And it's an amazing thing to be a South African and be focused right now, because it feels like it's an important time and it's an opportune time, because all of us have these opportunities in front of us. So I'm still hanging out with my boy MZ Khumalo. We're chilling. The dinner's gone, so we're not gonna talk about it anymore. I do wanna chat though, MZ. I mean, like I was saying earlier, you've traveled around the continent, documenting amazing stuff and amazing people. But I hear the work ethic in some of those places and just the way they do business is slightly different. You know, like I hear things like EFTs are not necessarily a thing. You know, people get paid in hard cash all the time.
You know what? I think it's not that there's bad work ethic.
Yeah.
It's just a logistical nightmare.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things that aren't there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why, actually, because it's like they know about
things.
The internet is there. Ghana has probably some of the fastest internet.
Yeah. Rwanda as well, apparently.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd read about Rwanda wanting, because they don't have a lot of like natural resources. Mm. So what they're trying to do is become the tech hub in terms of satellite, internet-wise. To the world, because they're close to the center of the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So all the satellites would essentially bounce off there.
That's
and that would
insane.
Become their resource, you know?
That's dope.
So it's like,
so it is amazing then that they don't have all this stuff when
buy a spa, number one.
Yeah.
Buy a spa, and then time ish. It's Kati boy. It's Kati boy. It's Kati was born. This African time thing is true, but then you know, it's getting better.
Yeah,
it's getting better.
Great.
But work ethic wise, guys work brilliant, amazing minds across the continent.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
So I mean, the industry, the advertising industry in South Africa feels like it kind of is it's the beacon when it comes to African advertising. And I say African in inverted commas, because, you know, we're constantly accused of having quite a European / American way of seeing ourselves compared to the rest of the continent. And
sure.
That's also prevalent in the rest of the continent when they speak about the way ads that we produce.
Mm.
Why is it that you think things like production quality, you know, in advertising. I mean, I've judged advertising campaigns from other parts of the continent, and you just look at the quality of it. The concept might be there, but the quality of it is just why is it? Why do you think that is?
Again, I think it's a logistical thing. It's also expertise, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of what people have studied, what they've had access to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can pretty much put it down to that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like also, you know, to think of film as a career.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, not a lot of people that do that. You know what I mean? And I have this thing, Yogu Timanji. I think in necessity breeds knowledge.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Manji, when those people need to have that thing, then the schools will open up and that sort of thing, and they'll fill the void, and then later on they'll be able to do it without the help of South Africans.
That's right.
Do you get what I'm saying? So it's coming along, you know. Yeah, just slowly but surely. But
and have you shot a lot of ads in kind of other African countries or for brands in other African countries?
I have, primarily DSTV.
Okay.
Oh, what else have you done for the upper African continent?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few other things. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, pressure, boy. Yeah, pressure. I'm not trap music, Lana. We're chilling. Yabona.
Dololo trap,
boy.
Yeah,
no, that's dope. But like, I mean, to just bring it also closer to home, why is it then, do you think, that we are still missing? I'm going back to the question that made you run earlier. that question about in production, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that representation is taking a while?
By representation, what do you mean? In terms of black faces, colored people,
Indian people. I mean this in this space, I'm on set and I look around, and I'm not saying that it's sometimes, but a lot of time when I'm on set, there are certain roles that they kind of feel like they belong to a certain group of people, and is it necessarily just a product of where we are at the time that we're at? You know what I mean? So how
it is, again, it goes back to, I mean, it's recent now where people consider film as a career. You know what I mean? If you told your parents, hey, ngifuni film or whatever, but hey, when you kugala ngemali, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Marketing, whatever. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's now that it's becoming that sort of thing.
And then
there's a lot of young guys trying to break through and that sort of thing. I think the key thing being that we need to give them the chance.
Yeah.
Do you know? Again, go back. Necessity, knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
And so you think that it's just necessarily coming out of the traditional ways of getting the knowledge for film. I mean, people like countries like Nigeria, where people literally pick up a camera. I mean, but we're also seeing the quality, you know? People pick up a camera. And then they have this industry that's like booming. Obviously, because of numbers.
I love how things scenes play out in real time. It's like someone's walking to the store and it takes like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Kala. Who's he packed up? Packed Alhamba pants. Kills me. Yes. Yeah, but back to the point.
But it's exactly that though. Like, you know, the fact that, you know, those guys at some point they just figured, you know what, fuck it. I'm not going to wait for formal training. I'm just going to go pick up a camera and I'm going to just start putting things together the way I think things should be. And somehow they make this stuff that gets sold purely, I think, because of numbers. They make a lot of money there because there's so much of it out there.
Yeah.
What do you think is stopping people or kids in kind of our country or around us from just going, you know what, I'm just going to rock an internship with Mzee and then kind of learn and glean everything that he knows and then eventually get to become a part of the advertising industry?
They are there.
Yeah?
They are. Yeah, I get hit up like a couple of, often enough, you know?
Yeah, and you take these cats on?
Definitely, take them very seriously, you know? Just come through, let's learn, you know, and try and package the experience as well, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want some kids come hang out with me when I'm sitting at the office and just doing nothing. So it's like, yo, I'm treating, come check me out, I'll show you how I do the treatment, we're gonna shoot now, so they can see the process, you know.
That's great.
If you want to watch it again, you're welcome to.
And do you think then as well that the problem that is experienced by advertising, well, by people trying to get into advertising schools, like how expensive it is, is also a factor in this regard?
Big hindrance. I mean, AFTA's like, I don't know what the school fees is now, but it's not your normal school fees, like WITS or that sort of thing.
Right.
It's very pricey, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose primarily because of the gear and equipment and things that we use. It tends to cost a lot. It does.
Other schools, like advertising schools like AAA and Vega, have put together programs where kids can come in and kind of take on a version of. I've never really been a big fan of that model of, like, you know, Like there are things like the Imagination Labs, right? They're a great start. They are places where people who won't be able to have the kind of cash that can pay for you to be at the main campus, kind of get a look into the industry and have a version of it. And a lot of them essentially graduate into becoming part of the main campus, and then, you know, but it's like a roundabout way. So why do you think then? Do you think that there's a need for schools that have a different model, a model that's not going to cost that much?
I do, actually. Yeah. I do. But I think it's also on us as people to push that whole mentorship thing. And go and fend for themselves and that sort of thing. If they're curious, Jesus, harness that curiosity, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
zwakala boy. Blow them up, beg a good sinzani. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give them a chance. I do. You know, various, link them up with various people. You know, you think you like makeup? Go. Nang umuntu enze makeup. Give the call ahead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's the DOP. Give the call ahead. Link him up with your homeboy. You like directing? Come hang out with me. I'll teach you. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's also all that, right? Like, people think that when you talk about being in film, it's just be directing.
Yes.
It's just about, you know, being the DOP.
The producer or the, whatever.
There are all these other avenues.
Exactly.
But I feel like it's a dissemination of information thing, you know, where people never actually get to find out that I can be the dopest makeup artist. You know, I could be that guy who wins that Oscar that's broadcast during the day. That's not broadcast, that's done during the day.
you know
what I mean?
Yeah.
And how do you think that that's it's from the dinner last night, but it's fine. So how do you think that impacts on the final product that we put out as advertisers? Do you think that, you know, it's the ongoing conversation about the type of influences that come onto the work, coming from different types of people from different areas, actually gets to influence the type of work that we all do? How much do you think that is also true in the storytelling that happens in South African film and or advertising?
Well, so let me just get the question. So you're saying our background, how much does our background influence
and
film style that we then push out as directors sort of thing? A lot. In the sense of there's a certain way I articulate things, you know. I understand certain languages, isn't this whatever the characters that we portray. So it's like Nyamazlumuntu. When I'm reading the script, I'm like Nyamazlumuntu lo. Ufana njengo ta whatever. Tapen lo plo mekone ni lo bega paisa in. You know what I mean?
Yes,
that sort of thing. And you can be able to create that character and work.
Right.
Work. Let me find my language here. It's ngamla. And create those characters and bring them to life on screen, essentially.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So it is important, like the background and where you come from and what you know about South Africans in general.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's something that happened a couple of weeks ago with the alleged plagiarism is the wrong word, but the alleged copying of an ad that exists in Canada that looked exactly like an ad that Tristan actually just shot recently.
Yes.
And we spoke about how, isn't that just because of the influences that we all have? We all watch the same things, you know? So we all consume Game of Thrones. We all consume all these other things. And I think we're always going to end up at these places. But the only way that no one will ever be able to duplicate what we do is when we bring, it might be a similar idea, but if you bring a certain influence from what makes us South African or what makes us a guy from Ekasi, if you bring that into the conversation or into your treatments or whatever, it definitely makes us, it'll make it hard to duplicate anywhere else in the world.
Fair enough, I hear you. I'm still wrangling with the question of what makes us South African outside of language. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and the obvious cultures. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out. I think we all are, essentially, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with a visual articulation. If I'm not showing you a specific landscape and whatever, or someone speaking, what is being South African? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to figure that out myself, you know?
Maybe that is an interesting question because it's thrown around all the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, also like a distinctly South African view on things, you know.
Add some South African nuances. Like, what the fuck? It's 11 cultures here. Do you know what I mean? Let's talk about
about it takes and a beetroot, my man.
No, that's fun. Yeah, that's fun.
That's dope, man. That's dope. So I mean, I wanna talk about your music video, the music video branch of your existence.
Okay.
I mean, every day we're listening to guys talking about, you know, I got a Bentley and a car. I got a chopper in a car.
You got a chopper in the car.
What is that world like? What is that world, once again, compared to the world of documentaries and advertising? What's it like going into that world and saying, I want to communicate something else?
Look, I think specifically, I do music videos to have fun.
Right.
So, generally it's like, hey man, there's this thing I've been wanting to try out. I want this visual technique and that sort of thing. So that's the only reason why I'll take on a music video. And I think a lot of directors, it's the same thing, you know, unless maybe you're starting up and whatever.
Right.
But for instance, I've hardly ever made a cent from a music video.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Not even like a rand. You know, I think it's one where I got paid, but the rest are fuck all, boy. Wow. You know what I mean? It's just
so they're all passion projects.
They're all passion projects. You know what I mean? So Mikasa, for instance, we had fun on that. You know, came up with the concept, workshopped with the guys, and we pushed something out. I thought it was interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was really, really dope.
So, in terms of the posturing though, like Leabo, Bentley, whatever, it's never gonna happen, guy. Not on my watch, boy. Unless Jedi is story, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then maybe we can live in that world.
Because I mean, a lot of the time as well, you know, you kind of go, you know the default music video, the default South African music video with a low angle shot, you know what I mean? Guys walking backwards. Camera following them, they're walking backwards. No, I'm calling me anyone. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that there's a default. Don't start shit. Yeah, I'm saying there's a default, you know, where you know, like, and you can see, like, my favorite one is you can see that production was obviously, we're shooting today, guys, we're finishing today. There was one part of this music video was shot during the day. In the bottom half of this house, and it's a pool party. But the other guy, I think, arrived late.
Yes.
And it was already like nighttime. So he was upstairs with the girls. But he's also wearing a polo neck. Right? While the guy's downstairs. And he comes out and he says, robbery. And I'm like, I wanna. But this must be one of the challenges that come with, like, guys, we only have one day to shoot.
It is. It is big time. I haven't experienced those challenges so much, you know what I mean? I think the one was where we did, I think 2008, I was with Tabs actually.
Yeah,
he was producing for me, the TKZ music video.
Oh yeah, that's
where
dope.
The artists wanted to bounce, like,
yeah,
they're like, hey boy, I'll get this, like, we got an appointment at 4 p.m. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? It's your music video, you know what I mean? But outside of that, I've never gone through it. It's very, like, controlled, guys buy into it. I also think, because of technology, you know, we're getting to make cooler and cooler videos. You know what I mean? People are thinking outside of the box. We want to compete internationally in terms of the videos that we're putting out there. So find a lot of them can be conceptual or technically, like, pushing the boundaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's pretty cool. So,
cool. Look, I'm gonna ask you a slightly controversial question that in the land of making ads, and that, you know, we're constantly being pushed about how much things cost. You know, we're constantly being told, hey guys, you know, there must be a way that we can shave here. And we all know, you and I know, that it costs money to make things look a certain way.
Yes.
It costs money to get to a certain quality of work, right? Now, you've just said, you know, there are projects where you've made nothing, right? And the music videos, they are what they are. It's a one-day shoot for this and this and this and this. What happens when a brand comes to you and says, I think my solution is a music video. I think the solution for the business problem that I have right now, an ad agency comes to you and says, I think my solution is going to be a music video. Now, you are used to attacking these things as passion projects and making pretty much nothing. So when those guys come to you and they say, hold on. So when those guys come to you and they say, hey boy, the money department, how do you find the balance then between those two worlds?
If the concept is great, it's easy to buy into.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Also, if you don't have money, give us time.
Right.
Yeah, well, and vice versa.
Yeah.
If you have money, we can throw money at the solutions. You know, to factor the whole time thing. You know? So if you don't have money, give us time. Make sure your concept's dope, or at least allow us into the creative process so we can then also create something that we want to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than, Auna new, Wins in Kiswaka, Auna Skati, and you're like, why am I here? Do you know what I mean? That day, the client in the Kunmangati Manji, okay, 10 meters. Come on, guys. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's how we balance it out, essentially.
That's interesting. For me, I'll tell you, if it was me in that situation, I'd just be like, what? I don't care the fact that I didn't make a lot of money. I don't make a lot of money out of music videos. But you are here and you're asking for a business brand solution. And I know how much you pay for adverts.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I would just go, fuck
we,
that.
We do push back sometimes. Actually, often enough, we do have to push back. You know? Especially now, there's a big cut in budgets in terms of production and that sort of thing. The number of productions that people are pushing out, wanting to communicate with messages. Retail, instead of doing 10 ads, advertising this package and that package.
It's all one now.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all trying to.
So, why is it retail, boy? Eh? Retail. Have you heard that phrase?
He in retail, man.
Brand and retail at the same time.
Eh, hey, wait, now.
Retail.
Hey, on Termine, boy.
My theme.
Kinkley Shower. My theme.
No, but that's really, really interesting. I think for me, I want to understand about the creative process, you know, your creative process. So, you know, there's a part in the whole process where you bring in the treatment, and you just spoke now about being brought in earlier into the creative process in order to have an influence on that stuff. And how often do you find that, and I've said in one or two briefings or treatment sessions where people have gone, yeah, but I feel like the director's kind of gone his own way. But actually, what you've done is you've made the script that much better that the guy who wrote the script is now worried what his influence is on this thing. How often do you find that happens to you? And ideally, how quickly in the process would you like to get involved so that kind of thing gets avoided?
Look, I think. How do I answer this in a very
diplomatic way?
Yeah,
in a way not to block briefs.
I'm being diplomatic.
Yeah. you just missed South Africa at me. I'd like to thank the judges for the question. Can I please get the question again?
No. So it's not that we want to jump in like just as you get the brief from your client and that sort of thing. But especially with projects that have parameters in terms of you don't have a lot of money, you're trying to make this work. Sometimes cats will write a script that's actually worth like 3 million rand.
Yeah.
And you only have R1 million. Do you know what I mean? So that's where we would come in and help you formalize this thing. Also in terms of the visual articulation of it, there's a certain skill that we bring.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And our insights as well. You know, I think sometimes directors' insights are undervalued, you know?
Yeah.
So you think because you've done the advertising and all of that stuff and you would know better. I'm not saying that.
No, completely.
But we also know.
Yeah.
You know, we study people. It's our thing. We deal with people. We create reality.
That's what I mean? That's exactly
so
it.
We do have valuable insights to add onto your projects and help you just make them either tighter and contain them well and also just tell good stories. We're storytellers as well.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll help you bring that stuff to life.
And that's exactly what I was getting at, actually. Like, you know, the fact that, you know, we feel like there's all these traditional silos under which we've all existed, where you know, there's a process and there's a ladder which says this process only starts at a certain point and I only involve you at a certain point. I mean, there are also realities about it. I mean, if I come to you before I go and present a script and say, hey, Ang Sizela, this thing I want to present to the client only has 2 million. Mang Sizela, it's like, yeah, well, then we must shoot together, obviously. You know what I mean? And those are, I think, the models that we all need to start looking at. And not necessarily changing, but also in factoring in to what the current climate is.
What kind people are earmarked off their reels?
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's like before I go and present,
you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know already. Good day. There's an ad that's going out.
This guy's earmarked.
You helped articulate whatever the treatment album, pitch album. And you're going to shoot. There's only one director who's pitching on it. It's not always good to mind you.
You must go three ways.
Do you know what I mean? Because then also, I find it's tricky in the sense that you might have had a really dope idea from the one treatment.
Yeah.
But you also like this other treatment. This other treatment's a little sort. But you want to add this idea that you got from the other. So it's tricky. Do you get what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with saying to working with guys. You see, if it's a work in progress, you can iron out all your problems. It's not that the skill set doesn't exist, that he can't shoot whatever it is and that sort of thing. Work together. Make it happen. Do you get what I mean?
Catch
it out here one and keep it moving.
Yeah.
It also just, what it does, it also stops wasting other people's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, these three directors, they took a whole week out.
Yeah.
And it's money as well. You know,
it's a lot of cash.
Pay the
yeah.
research team and whatever. They're going to go find you clips and pictures and, you know, write ups on certain things so you can get insights.
I think that's really, really interesting. And in this, in an evolving industry, in an industry that's obviously turning into making sure that we exist with all these factors around us, I think that that's a recommendation that makes perfect sense to me. Like, I'll go and present to your point. The only way I can prevent myself from going to present a script that's worth 6 million when I know you've only got 2 is if I come to you and you tell me straight up, Emma, we can't open on the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there's no way you're gonna use up all your budget on this stuff. And then it's just gonna be things like just narratives and timing and whatever. Because to your point, you've been doing that for much longer. But do you see a model like that existing here in when obviously the industries are all kind of, you know, we're all shaving everywhere. Hey, do you think though that model can work?
I've seen it happen a couple of times with the bigger jobs, you know. I think what was that job you did the other day? The DSTV.
Yeah,
didn't you go straight?
Yes.
You went direct, you know what I mean? And it was a work in progress.
Isaac Expo Zale. What's that job you did?
Yeah. Had a point.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. Yeah. It's real.
But
yeah.
What I'm saying to you is that it was a work in progress. You sat with the guy, you went through the paces, you gave him your ideas, he
That's
bounced back
it.
With you. Yeah, yeah. You basically formulated that treatment together. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was a smooth process. It got done. Yeah, well. So I think it exists. We just need to do more of it. Yeah. Yeah, well. Sometimes, yes, you do want to get other ideas.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that crazy board, it's beer board. Yeah. You know, you do want to get some other.
So you're saying then that the idea of an agency in-house director can be a thing?
No.
So what's the difference? Tell me what the difference is.
Look, I think the difference is because your in-house director maybe has a certain, like, not to say that we must bracket directors, do you know what I mean? But some people are better at certain things. So
yes.
Some people are good at humor. Some people are, you know
this
what
is
I mean?
True.
Yeah. And yes, directors can try different tonalities and performances and that sort of thing. But
you
don't know, also don't want to lock yourself down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's okay to look around and be like, actually, I like that guy and his style when he did this, that, and you get him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like this guy because he's great at whatever, whatever, and you get him.
Hey, we're getting a trip. Hey, we're getting a trip. I'm going to the trip music. I cover the trip music. But you know what, guys? Once again, it's been another hour that's flown by. I feel like we've just gotten into this conversation, and you know, as the great Thibaut Touch says, you know, sometimes they should just give me 5 hours. But I'm not a Thibaut Touch yet. He says, because this thing is a movement. Yesterday I heard him say, because this thing is not about the music. I could do a 3-hour set of rock and roll. And it feels right now that I could do a 3-hour set of rock and roll with Mzee.
Yes.
And we could just keep chatting about this stuff. But I think some really, really interesting conversations have been started.
I'd actually love to come back and feature Banyabanti.
And we'll do that. We'll definitely have a conversation, a bigger conversation. And more, I think that we should have a much bigger roundtable conversation about some of these issues. And the powers that be will can probably facilitate something like that. And we'll have a young chat about everything, really. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. We've had another amazing hour. Get out there, check out the podcast. On Cliff Central, on cliffcentral.com. We didn't swear too much, so you can play it for your moms. And once again, I always say, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having tequila. Cheers.
I actually apologize to my mother up front. I'm just saying that. Mama Manga Chugana, I'm still your son.
Right, we're out.
This is cliffcentral.com.